The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
For over 10 years, VOC Nation has taken listeners behind the scenes of the greatest moments in pro wrestling history. Our hosts are not only experts on the business, but have lived in the business. Subscribe and hear weekly podcasts from hosts like legendary pro wrestling journalist Bill Apter, former Impact Wrestling star Wes Briscoe, former WWE and AWA broadcaster Ken Resnick, former WWE and TNA star Shelly Martinez, former WCW star The Maestro, NWA legend The Raging Bull Manny Fernandez, and much more. VOC Nation programming is free on most major podcasting apps, including iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and Radio.com. And video podcast and bonus content is available on Patreon for as low as $3 a month. What are you waiting for? Head to VOCNation.com and dig into the most comprehensive podcast network built for pro wrestling fans. Find us on Facebook and Instagram at VOC Nation Wrestling Network and follow us on Twitter at VOC Nation.
Welcome, everyone, to WCW Retro. I'm your host, evening Papa Stroh, the Maestro of Wrestling. Great to have you guys with us, as always. And tonight, it's a very special night. We'll be discussing the Monday Night Wars between WCW and the WWE from years past. Very interesting topic to jump into. I can't wait to discuss it with you guys here tonight. And speaking of discussing, anytime you guys like to call in live during tonight's podcast, you can do so at 914-338-1885. Once again, that number is 914-338-1885. And this is the place to be, folks. We talk about past, present, future professional wrestling, so much more. You never know if you'll call in, tap the phone. It's the Wild Wild West, the podcast right here on WCW Retro with the great VOCNation.com network. Support our great podcasts and programming right here on VOCNation.com. For example, In the Room podcast every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Every Wednesday night at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we have Wrestling with History with Bruce Wirt, Ken Resnick, and Bill Apter. Of course, WCW Retro every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Wrestling with Problems podcast. Raging Bull Randy Fernandez has his own podcast here. Sassy Steph has their own podcast as well. Briscoe and Big Ace. And all the great podcasts we got right here on VOCNation.com. Just go to VOCNation.com for the respected time and schedule of your favorite VOC Nation podcast and enjoy. Great listens, as always. And support us also on Pro Wrestling Tees at ProWrestlingTees.com/VOCNation. Get your favorite VOC Nation t-shirt today, including one of WCW Retro and one of yours truly, Papa Stroh, the Four Faces of Stroh. So go to ProWrestlingTees.com/VOCNation and support us on VOC Nation. And speaking of merchandise, I have my own merchandise as well, Papa Stroh, at my official merchandise website, thestroh.com, thestro.com/merchandise. Also, all together, it's thestroh.com/merchandise. Get your favorite Papa Stroh merch today for all ages, including pets, and represent Team Stroh worldwide. I'm on Facebook at Stroh the Maestro, which tomorrow night will be at midnight Eastern Standard Time on my official Facebook. Will be another edition of my horror sci-fi show, The Stroh Zone, of course, at facebook.com/StrohTheMaestro. And tomorrow night's feature, midnight Eastern Standard Time, will be The Ghoul, starring Boris Karloff. So please tune in. I'm on Twitter, @TheStroh, Instagram, @StrohMaestro. Subscribe to my YouTube channel, guys. Subscribe at youtube.com/StrohMaestro. And if you'd like to make a donation to yours truly, Papa Stroh, buy me a cup of coffee, give me some tips, etc. And thank you for those that have already donated. But if you'd like to donate, send it to my PayPal at paypal.me/Papa Stroh. So all together, it's paypal.me, M as in Mary, E as in Eat, /Papa Stroh. And thank you in advance for your support. And I'm taking bookings, guys. All kinds of stuff. Wrestling, commentary, voiceover, commercials, endorsements, charities, interviews. You'd like to cast me for your television event or film. Seminars, you name it. I do a lot these days, radio, etc. Personal appearances, autograph signings, you name it. So if you'd like to book yours truly, Papa Stroh, for your event, Comic-Cons included, email me, hit me up, strohfoya@yahoo.com, STRO4YA@yahoo.com. And if you'd like to be a special guest on an upcoming episode of WCW Retro, hit me up as well, WCWRetro@yahoo.com. Let's get you some exposure right here on WCW Retro. Shout-outs to Lost of the Funhouse podcast with Greg Roblondi and Antler Hill. Give them a look-see on YouTube. Just type in Lost in the Funhouse podcast on YouTube search. Innovative Hybrid Wrestling of the Maritimes area in Canada. Give them a shout and see what they're up to on their Facebook page at facebook.com/IHW Wrestling. Fishing with Special Friends. Fishingwithspecialfriends.com. The Masters of Ring Entertainment and mastersofringentertainment.com. The Cauliflower Alley Club, which is returning in September in Las Vegas, Nevada. Give them a shout on their official website, which is caulifloweralleyclub.org. O-R-G. And with that, oh, gosh, so much is going on. I just wrapped up with production with upcoming film The Devil's Daughter, which is a Harlequin origin story, which I'll be starring as Dr. Arkham in that film. That's premiering around, per se, Halloween, projecting. So I'm really excited for you guys to check out this film. It's going to be really cool, guys, for sure. But The Devil's Daughter, give them a look-see on the latest on their Facebook page, facebook.com/RealDevil'sDaughter. I'm going to be on set also later on this year for the fourth season of The Dust Series, which I currently star as the Chief. And you can check out all three seasons of Florida The Dust Series on the YouTube channel, youtube.com/DustSeries, D-U-S-K series. I've got an upcoming pilot and miniseries I'm going to be working on soon. Keep you guys informed on that. I have a horror movie that will be out possibly towards the end of this year, too. It's called Stench of Iniquity, which I'll be starring as an ancient vampire named Abba in the film. And for more information on this upcoming film, Stench of Iniquity, go to their Facebook page, facebook.com/StenchofIniquity. And I see the callers are lining up, which is fantastic. We'll get you guys really soon. Just hang tight. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we'll be talking Monday Night Wars right here at WCW Retro, so stick with us. We'll be back in a few, folks.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
This is Lance Storm, and if I can be serious for a minute, you're listening to VOC Nation worldwide.
VOC Nation is one of the longest-running wrestling podcast networks, having started way back in 2010. VOC Nation provides daily streaming shows where fans have the ability to interact with their hosts and guests via phone calls, emails, and Twitter. VOC Nation hosts also include former backstage interviewer from both AWA and WWE, Ken Resnick, former WCW performer The Maestro, former Impact performer Wes Crisco, Pro Wrestling Illustrated contributor Brady Hicks, and former Philadelphia radio personality Bruce Wirtz. VOC Nation's two most popular shows are Wrestling with History, featuring Ken Resnick and Bruce Wirtz, streaming live on Wednesday nights at 9:30 p.m. Eastern, and In the Room, featuring Pro Wrestling Illustrated's Brady Hicks and WCW alum The Maestro. Both shows take callers live during the show, and recent guests have included General Adnan, Tito Santana, Haku, Earl Hebner, Danger Sandy Davis, Jimmy Hart, Ricky Steamboat, Brodus Clay, and so many more. Archive-free content includes past interviews with huge names like Hulk Hogan, Jesse Ventura, Kurt Angle, Sting, Mick Foley, Joey Styles, Howard Finkel, and so many more. Listen live at VOCNation.com and subscribe to all the podcasts by searching VOC Nation Radio Network on your favorite podcast app. And be sure to follow these guys on Twitter at VOC Nation.
Hola, this is your amiga, Shelly from Cali, to let you know you can catch me here on VOC Nation for Shelly Live. You never know what the hell I'm going to be talking about. Sometimes I have guests. Sometimes I let you on in the cheese mess, spill a little tea. Sometimes I cry. You have to tune in to find out why. And I also take your calls. I love chatting with you guys and seeing what the hell you guys are thinking. So meet me here on the VOC Nation. Be there or be square.
Rock and Roll Union for the past 2 years has been the place for rock and roll, new rock and roll, debuting rock and roll, and some of the old classics as well. We have welcomed guests from around the world, national artists and more. We have excited many people by our live events. We've welcomed everybody into the fold, and we continue to do so on a weekly basis. Guys, that is Rock and Roll Union, and that is what we do for you.
Saturdays, 6 p.m. Eastern, VOCNation.com. Each and every Thursday night, check it out. WCW star Stro Maestro takes you on a journey. It's WCW Retro, talking old school match of the week, talking dream matches, taking your calls and looking back on an incredible career of acting, entertaining, and wrestling. Check it out. VOCNation.com. WCW Retro. Be sure to call in Thursday nights, 9 Eastern, on the VOC Nation Radio Network.
The worldwide leader in entertainment. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
We're back, WCW Retro, a little Terry Funk for you guys. Uncle Terry, man, in my thoughts and prayers, as well as he is with you guys as well. Get better soon, Funker. We love you, man. The legend, man, the man himself. Things are going good, man, right here at WCW Retro. Tonight's a special night. We're talking the Monday Night Wars between WCW and WWE back in the day, so this should be a lot of fun to talk about. And just a reminder, the calls are lining up. Sit tight with you guys in just a few moments. But the rest of you guys are listening. You want to call in, join the party, the Monday Night Wars party right here in WCW Retro, 914-338-1885. So as Officer Tatum would say on YouTube, let's get into this. All right. First off, 843 area code. Welcome to WCW Retro.
What's up? What's up?
Hey, it's the Amazing Velvet. How you doing, brother? Welcome back, man.
Oh, it is? Oh, God. Where'd he come from? Yeah, I'm here.
He almost sounded like
I'm
Mel Brooks
here.
In the Million Saddles. It is?
It is?
Well, he's the governor? The governor?
Yeah, the governor. Yeah, the governor. Governor. Yeah, what's up, man?
Hey, how you doing? How you been?
Been a rough week, but still, you know, I'm here. I had a little kick up, but I'm all right. I'm getting there. But,
good.
You know,
well, if you know you got
every
the comic relief, always stop by WCW Retro.
I know, right? yeah, as long as Brian doesn't call in and looking for Kyle again, we're good to go.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Well, that's when, so funny.
When I see the Skype number pops up, I was like, oh, there's Brian.
Yeah, there's
the
Brian.
Number, so. There's the mysterious 111.
He doesn't want to give up his phone number, so I get that. And he goes online and does it that way.
and he's got, like, WSC Lounge going on, you know, with all the soap opera actors.
Oh, man, he's got a lot going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does. I mean, I looked at some of the stuff recently. Yeah.
Hey, he almost gave me some spoilers the other night on AEW Dynamite. I was, like, away from a meeting. I had DVR, and I was going to watch it later when I got home. And
right. Don't give me spoilers, right?
Yo, let me watch it. Thanks, man, but let me watch it on the thing, man. But,
yeah,
oh,
no
man.
Kidding, right?
Right.
Don't tell me about it.
Oh, God.
He's one of those guys that will do it, though. All right, we got him now?
Well, we got a couple of numbers popping up. Let's see what we got here. Oh, 910. Zero, okay. Let's see who this is. Okay, 910, area code. It could be. Welcome to WCW Retro.
Papa Stroh, Velvet, how y'all doing?
Oh,
hey,
Todd.
Todd. Hey, welcome back. How you been?
Oh, I've been outstanding to Supernatural. What can I say?
That's the wrong podcast, but
Oh, that's awesome.
Nope.
Yeah.
No, doing all good
here. Nice
Bigfoot pleasure. Won't be doing a surprise run-in or anything, so you're cool.
Oh, nice.
No surprise
yeah.
by Bigfoot or any Supernatural disasters might come along, you know what I mean? You're good.
Yeah, no Revenge of the Lizard Man routine going on where it's like Montezuma's revenge?
No, Montezuma. No, any revenge. I mean, you're perfectly safe here, brother. It's all good.
I'm digging it. What a great topic tonight. One of the great prime times of wrestling, period.
Oh, man, what an amazing time that was. Holy cow. Monday Night Wars, dude. So let's hold that thought.
It legitimized VCRs.
It really did. It really did. It put VCRs in business. It really did. Oh, Lord. Hold that thought, because we're going to invite more people in the mix. We got Professor Steve coming in to join us. Professor Steve, welcome back, brother. I know you'd be digging this topic tonight, for sure.
Yeah, I got to be honest. I'm on cruise control because I had no sleep, and I just got out of a jiu-jitsu class, so I'm a little bit tired. but this is a great topic, so I wanted to call in and try to help as much as I can. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, hang tight. I got another one coming in to join the party here.
Come on,
Mr. Hollywood. Welcome back, brother.
How you doing, Papa Stro Maestro of WCW Retro, the one and only, Mr. Hollywood in the house. Hello, all my friends. I love you guys. I love you guys, and I love WCW Retro.
Right. But tonight's Monday Night Wars, man. WCW versus WWE all over again. Let's get into this.
Let me tell you something, Papa Stro Maestro. Let me tell you something, brother. It's WCW. WCW all night long, buddy. WCW. I got my money on WCW.
Hey, do you guys remember those vignettes that WCW did? Did one at WWE, and WWE came back. Yes. Yes, the billionaire Ted segment. Yes. Yes.
Love it.
Remember, Nacho Man sprayed the hair on his head, and he said, oh, yeah. And he had, like, Hogan came out in the stroller.
Yeah, Nacho Man.
He came out in the stroller.
Yeah, Nacho Man.
Nacho Man the Huckster. Yeah, that was it.
Yeah,
the Huckster,
that was
funny.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yes. Scott Hall even mentioned it in his promo when he showed up.
Wow. And Billionaire Ted, this is where the good old boys play.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right. WCW.
Oh, man. And what about when DX invaded WCW in the tank? Remember that?
Yeah, that was great.
That was
crazy.
Awesome. I love that happened in Norfolk.
I mean, it's
pure
jealousy.
And they almost got inside. Had somebody not been smart enough to roll that roll door down, they would have got inside.
Oh, my God.
I bet you Kevin and Scott Hall would have let him in.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, probably would have.
Yeah.
Oh, they probably would have. But if you see the clip in its entirety, that door was open when they were rolling through, and then all of a sudden, that door was closed quick.
Oh. Wow. I heard JBL mention that moment, and I think he was talking to Road Dogg when he was interviewing him, and he had an idea about, like, what if there was a Ken Shamrock Haku Ming meeting backstage, at that moment. That would have been epic.
Oh, yeah.
God, yes.
They're in the same room, yeah.
What a great time to be alive back then.
Oh, definitely. No question. There's no question. No question.
You remember the podcast that Vince and Eric Bischoff would, like, go back and forth on each other on Raw and Nitro. Oh, my God. It's hilarious.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and it's...
I was just going to go with, I remember struggling to, which one was I going to watch on a given night and which one was I going to record for later.
Right.
Well, I can tell you, Mr. Hollywood was your W's Nitro. Yeah. WCW was number one in my book. Monday night, it was no question. It was WCW Nitro, WCW, and the NWO. No question about it.
You know, you mentioned Eric Bischoff and Vince calling each other out, or Eric calling Vince out. That's a big what if. Because I'm sure Vince wanted to show up, and also Eric has a legit kickboxing background, so that would have been interesting if they got in the ring together at one point. I mean, I know they would work together on WWE, but at that moment, that would have been interesting.
Oh God, that would have been money. Can you imagine Bill and Vince versus Eric matchup back then?
Wow, that was crazy.
Monday.
Wow.
Yeah, I made a ton of money on that.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And Vince could go. He just had those matches with Steve Austin back then, remember? Those matches in Boston. And yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And they were good. They were really good.
You know the wrestlers probably were grateful that Vince started working, because I'm sure the rings got more forgiving as Vince started working in those rings.
Wow. I'm sure.
That's funny.
Vince is a go-getter, man. Vince is a go-getter.
Yeah,
I mean, he's a tough dude, man.
He was.
I know there was something like, I think it was a couple years back when they had the Money in the Bank and match, and there was that Vince was like showing the whole fall. Remember, they're on top of the building fighting in the Money in the Bank. And the whole
the
Rey Mysterio did the whole fall bit.
Yeah.
And Vince actually did the fall himself to show them.
Yeah, he tested it out, yeah. He tested it out.
I'm like,
they were all scared.
Wow.
Yeah.
Actually, he didn't care. Get out of the way. I'm going to do it.
I'll do it.
Wow. That's crazy.
He's amazing.
And you know what we're going to have in catering? And you know what we're going to have in catering tonight for Money in the Bank? Weenies.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, Papa Stro, my
babies work for me.
Right.
Maestro, can I say something, Papa Stro, Maestro?
Yo, go ahead.
I love you guys. Let me give you a history fact. Wrestling magazine.
Please.
WCW was number one in ratings, and WWF, whatever was the number. And you know the thing about it? During that era, you had The Rock, Stone Cold. But yet, WCW was still number one in ratings with Hollywood Hogan, Scott Hall, and Kevin Nash. You had Sting from the dark side.
That's right. At one time, they were on top of the world, man.
Exactly. They were number one in ratings. And that's something that this man cannot dispute.
Well, that's why he buckled down. Actually, because he knew that WCW was a real threat at that time.
Exactly. I mean, it was so much chaos in WCW that it wasn't even funny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's part of the reason why WWE lost was there's only one guy in charge of WWE, or WCW is kind of. Multiple heads you had to serve. Plus, you had the corporate people looking down and being more controlling as the product continued.
Yeah.
But I wanted to mention something about McMahon. Originally he was Mr. McMahon, the evil boss and the evil promoter in Memphis in 1993, which I think is pretty interesting that he even Mr. McMahon back then.
That was the beginning stages of the evil corporate boss McMahon.
Oh yeah.
That was the foundation that set it up right there, man. And he gets some great promos too. Vince does. Amazing promos.
Oh, yeah. He did really good.
One of the best villains, I think.
Absolutely.
He was definitely a good one. He was.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it was like at the time when WCW was, you know, on top, you know, you had Ted Turner watching over at the CNN Center and everything, and then they moved their offices from there to Smyrna, Georgia, and to kind of give it more of its own identity, I guess, if you will. And that, you know, that's where they had set up the power plant and everything out there in Smyrna.
Mm-hmm.
For the guys to train.
Jeez.
Yeah. It was so cool at the time because the rivalry back and forth. I mean, we're all in the back watching each other's stuff. Like, we would watch Raw in the back, and the WWE guys were watching us, Nitro, and the ECW guys were watching both of us, and we watch, you know, ECW when we get time, too. And it was so cool.
Wow.
Well, I feel the product was better at WCW, like Mr. Hollywood said. I think the kicker was having Eddie, Benoit, Malenko, Ultimate Dragon, all these guys that were so-called cruiserweights versus WWE wasn't going that route. I mean, they really only had X-Pac and maybe a couple other people. But I think Eddie and all those guys were the catalyst for Monday Night Wars to be so successful. Yeah, you had Hogan and everything that, and Savage had come in later, and you had all those things. But everybody loved to see Eddie Guerrero, Chris Benoit, Chris Jericho. You know, those were the guys who were keeping it going. That was the grease on the wheel right there.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they're like the meat and potatoes of all those Nitros with the Cruiserweight.
Yeah, I guess I would say the thing about the Cruiserweight carrying him through.
And I thought it was so cool to watch Raven and Diamond Dallas Page on MTV when they're setting up their feud. I thought that was like one of the coolest things I've ever seen. When Raven was a special guest on one of the MTV shows. I forget the name of the show, but it was a very popular show at the time on MTV. And actually, it was Diamond Dallas Page was the guest, right? And they showed Raven promo on the TV, right? And they're watching the promo, Raven. And next thing you know, here comes Raven from behind attacking Diamond Dallas Page and DDT him through the table. And I was mind blown. You know what I mean? Wow, this is so cool.
Yeah,
oh,
TRL.
Wow.
MTV TRL, yeah.
Yeah.
And then you had Jim Ross trying to tell Vince McMahon he needed to get on that gravy train of cruiserweights, and Vince would not do it. He stood his ground with what he had. He didn't do it. And I think that led to one of the times that JR had left WWE, because he's like, you're missing the boat on this. And then what happens after the fact that WCW had started to fail? He hired every one of them. He hired Eddie, Jericho, Chris Benoit, you name it, all the kind of smaller guys, you know?
Right.
And then they became dual champions on the same night. So come on, man. You know,
right.
you had to have seen something prior to that anyway, before you sign them, in order to give them that push to become champion of, you know, your champion here and your champion there. I mean, come on.
I agree. Yeah, you're right. Because, I mean, Rey Mysterio, he was the champion. Chris Jericho is our undisputed champion in WWE.
I mean, every one of those guys were champion at some point.
And, you know, Scott Hall at the time was one of the few heavyweights back then. And on WCW, the Nitro, that would actually want to put over the cruiserweights, like he put over Jericho and Ray and a few others, because he had the same mindset. He knew that was the future of the business. You know what I mean?
Yeah, didn't know that.
Well, yeah, because you look at guys his size, there were very few guys his size in the business at the time. You know, The Big Show, The Undertaker, Kevin Nash, and that was probably it, and Kane. That was probably it for that, those size guys. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's, yeah, he saw the future.
And the big component that helped the cruiserweight division at the time, believe it or not, was Kevin Sullivan. He was big on the wrestling end of it and bringing in international talent like they did.
Oh, absolutely. And, Ultimate Dragon, right. The Great Muta, you name them. Mm-hmm. Juventud Guerrero.
Right.
You know, all those guys. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, it was an amazing time. And some of the best talent from all over the world at one point was coming through there.
Absolutely. Coming through those doors, absolutely.
I would automatically give Paul Heyman would take credit, but I didn't know that Cody was brought to Doom by Kevin Sullivan, so... that Tony bring in the international talent, so it is interesting. National talent. I used to I really enjoyed watching the ECW DVDs and kind of hearing Paul Heyman. Narrative about him kind of bringing in all these international talents that I do forget that Kevin Sullivan played part of this WWE.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he had a lot to do with it. Yeah, a lot to do with it. And, you know, of course, too, Kevin Sullivan, you know, I mean, he met a lot of those guys prior, you know, like you mentioned during the time with ECW as well, so.
Right.
I got a little trivia for you. I found the pictures.
All right.
I found the pictures. I told you that that DDP fell on top of us through the guardrail when we sat on the front row. But it was he was wrestling Evad Sullivan. He was wrestling Dave Sullivan. Evad, remember when he did the Evad?
Evad
had the he had Hogan's that night. He had the Hogan boots on that Hogan gave him. All that
right.
And it was a great match, but until, you know, he threw DDP into the he reversed it and threw DDP into the guardrail, and the guardrail broke and landed on us.
Dang. Oh,
so
my God.
That was fun.
Not bad.
I was like, oh, okay.
That was supposed to happen.
No, it wasn't supposed to happen because the wives weren't paying attention. And all of a sudden, here comes this guardrail. And my buddy's like 6'3 and 290, and he just takes both of his feet and lifts the guardrail up with DDP on it and stands it back up with his feet. And he was the offensive and defensive lineman in high school and was supposed to go to college and play, but he broke his right collarbone in his junior year and then broke his left collarbone in senior year. So that was the end of his football career. But anyway, he wrestled for a little minute, too, professionally. But he put his feet up and pushed him up, and DDP turned around to see who did that. And my friend Harry just struck a pose in front of him, looked, he goes, my arms are bigger than yours, buddy. And DDP goes, I was talking to the little guy. I'm talking to him. He's talking to me. He's pointing at me. I'm talking to him. I'm like, come on, man. I couldn't lift you.
Wow.
It was so funny.
That's funny, dude.
Oh, yeah.
But one side of the spectrum, you know what I mean? One side of the spectrum, you had the rise of Stone Cold Steve Austin, right? And then on the other side, you had the rise of Bill Goldberg in his streak.
Oh, yeah.
So,
forget about that.
Yeah, two
hot
things going on. Yeah. And then they eventually met in WWE, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the only time they ever met was at WrestleMania 20 match that kind of gets canned, but
it was interesting to see Steve Austin interact with Goldberg and Brock.
It's funny how you see everything that happened in WCW over, you know, over the years, and Vince recreated it somehow in a different fashion in WWE. And then even to this point, you can see that he wants to do something like, you know, Goldberg came back on and challenged Lashley. So this is an ongoing thing with them. They'll find somebody else to do it with, I guarantee it, or maybe come up with something pretty funny. So I think it's interesting. I think it's interesting and creative that they can do, you know, that he's done some of those things, you know, and taking it to another level.
Eric has done some great things. Don't get me wrong. I mean,
No, absolutely.
I'm not talking about it at all, brother. I'm just what I'm getting at is, I mean, he's done some great things. I mean, he's the guy that hired me in WCW. So, you know, I have all the love and respect for Eric.
Oh, absolutely.
I just cannot believe at one time he told Steve Austin wearing black, plain black trunks, you know, he just wouldn't get over. And look at him now.
Look what happened, right? Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Come on. How does that happen?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh.
I mean, hey, did you see yourself on TV Wednesday night, Stro?
Myself on TV?
Yeah, there was a guy portraying your look Wednesday night. He has it down. Stro look. It is Kenny Omega. He's got the Papa Stro stash and beard.
Oh, my God. Well, hell, he was only Anderson last week. So.
I know, but now this week he looked like you.
I wonder what he's going to be next week. Maybe
right.
Papa
Stro
go with somebody.
That would be funny. Now but he did. He looked like you. Before he grabbed that mic and started talking, I'm like, look at that. I said, that's a Papa Stro right there.
Wow.
Yeah, he changes his looks like week to week, like the Young Bucks are. Like every time I see him, they look completely different, like the whole different. You know what I mean? I guess it's a league thing or something where they have a different look every week.
It might be. But I'm glad the Bucks shaved those porn stashes off. They looked, it was a little freaky.
Well, Omega, if he starts looking like me, I'm starting to worry about him, man. I don't.
Oh, come on, man. That's the look, man.
Oh, my God.
Man, I'm glad you mentioned Omega and Stro because I was watching Stro's tag team match with Jake Roberts from Triple Mania when George is third. I think a gorgeous George III and Kenny Omega match, that would have been interesting. Because Gorgeous III, the way he was selling, like the way he was reacting, just it reminds me of like Kenny. And I don't mean that to be insulting to, you know, the Stro.
No, not at all.
But it's,
you know, I wouldn't be surprised our paths hasn't crossed yet. But I mean, if they ever do, that'd be great.
Gorgeous George had that mean body scissors and would hold you down. That would have been awesome to see somebody just hold Kenny down and torture him.
the villain, the villain in peril, basically, like the villain getting his comeuppance, like the way you were selling, like getting your crotch, your groin, like, getting striked. It's just the way you're reacting in that match. It just reminds me of the Kenny Omega. It's just entertaining.
Oh, man.
No, that's
awesome. Back then, I had some really cool matches with one of the guys involved in the 8-man tag, Peril Guile. He was kind of like the Terry Funk of Mexico wrestling. And, man, I had some singles matches over there. I wish you guys could have seen, man, because he was so great to be in the ring with. I love the matches we had. Between him and Cybernetico and Octagon was really cool, too, as well. yeah, it was a really cool time, that thing. And teaming with Jake, man, was it was awesome.
I wanted to follow up on something earlier. You were talking about Eric's comments on Austin. Ole Anderson said that Mark Calloway, Undertaker, wouldn't, you know, ever draw a diamond. He didn't know about Undertaker back then, but that, you know,
right.
Look what happened.
Ole had heat with everybody. He had heat going to Gordon Soley. And Gordon Soley's like one of the nicest people. Everybody, Ole was the drizzling, you know what.
Yeah, the drizzling craps, yeah.
Yeah, right. He even cracked on Flair a few times.
Yeah, I heard that Ole said in the shoot, he wanted the belt on Ric Flair so he can get rid of him so he could be a traveling champion.
Oh, I can't even imagine if Ole had the book at the time during the Monday Night Wars. I can only imagine.
It would have been over quick.
yeah. Remember we had the book some years ago with NWA, and he had I guess that's when he brought in Norman the Lunatic and Master Blasters, I think, and a few other gimmicks. Yeah. And I remember Rick talking about it in an interview, right? And he's like, you know, I know Ole didn't do drugs, but I could have sworn at the time he was high when he was booking.
Especially that Black Scorpion stuff.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. Black Scorpion. And, oh, God, who could forget when they finally unveiled it, the Starrcade, comes down to the UFO, there's Flair in the mask and the nose. And the nose gave it away. The nose totally gave it away. And Heyman and Jim Ross are trying to, like, kayfabe the whole time who the Shockmaster is. And I almost feel Heyman, like, corpsing through the microphone. Like, who is this guy? Oh, my God.
I wanted to ask you something that's more contemporary, but
okay.
You mentioned Goldberg earlier. Do you think Karrion Kross had a shot to be a more modern Goldberg? Because I thought he could have before he lost to Jeff Hardy there.
What? Oh, I mean, you know, I don't have the greatest booking mind in the world. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm just a spoke in the wheel. I'm just a wrestler. Okay, but who thought it was a good idea for Kross to end his undefeated streak on Raw when he's like this time's an old dominant NXT champion. He's got a big title match coming up, Gargano, and
Samoa Joe Carly at some point.
Yes, like it's the hottest thing on the program right now. And then
I mean
he gets on Raw by himself, like they. Hardly any of his intro was shown, right? And
yeah,
no Scarlett or anything, you know.
Yeah,
I thought he was doing a promo for NXT, but I guess apparently not. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
If he was going to lose, I'd rather him lose to Samoa Joe or lose to Jeff Hardy like on a pay-per-view, not on a Raw in like 2 minutes. With Jeff cheating when Jeff is not a villain, so it just made no sense.
Right. That blew my mind. I really said, I'm like, what? How can it make sense? How in the world? How can they make this work? I just don't understand the logic behind it, if there is any.
Here's again, it's the Vince logic. I guess he was showing. Everybody, hey, do your job, pay attention, you know, anything could happen. We could do anything with you we want to. Just, you know, I don't know. I could be wrong. It could be just maybe guy rubbed him wrong or this is just something he wanted to do. We don't know.
No,
I can't imagine Triple H's reaction. and
oh, right.
and some of the NXT higher ups just look watching this going, okay.
We let it, yeah, you know? We let him go to Raw for that, and then we could have kept him right here. I mean, come on.
They let Gargano and Ciampa for the main roster while they were feuding on NXT. And they were tag teaming on the main roster.
But guess what they ended back at? They ended back down there, which is smart. That was a good play to go back to NXT and not be on the main roster. Well, bump all that mess.
Go figure, right? But, you know, you're right. I mean, Across could be the next big monster they want to push if they want to do it. Because he has all the tools.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to pigeonhole Cross or, you know, try to say he's too similar to anybody, but he had Goldberg had a great entrance. You know, he doesn't have to have long matches. He just, you know, he's a badass, shaved head, goatee, you know, doesn't have to talk very much. They both look like badasses. Cross has that judo background, so it's like, I just saw a lot of potential with Cross. I thought he could have been undefeated a little bit longer, at least, until a big pay-per-view, maybe a SummerSlam or WrestleMania to lose it there.
Or maybe this is a let's get this loss out of the way, and then let's push him even more. I mean, we don't know, you know,
right.
Don't have a clue what's going on with that.
Honestly,
so,
if he does go back, return to Raw, and has a match with Jeff to redeem himself, he should be on Jeff like right on the right.
Jeff should
yeah,
get 2 seconds to do anything. Exactly,
mm-hmm.
He should get nothing. He should actually squash him. To be honest with you, Jeff shouldn't get a shot in, period. If you're going to do that way, then yeah. But, you know.
Look at the way Lashley, look at the way Lashley did Kofi.
He chugged around like a rag doll.
but it was needed because Lashley, you know, he's their dominant champion. He should look strong.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, no.
Especially,
hands down, absolutely.
Especially if he's got a match with Goldberg, he should look strong.
Coming up. Man, I really thought we were going to get Brock versus Lashley. I knew the rumors of Goldberg showing up.
I think Brock's done as a whole. I don't think he's ever coming back. I think he's completely done at this point.
Yeah, it's just weird that they would put him on the Raw roster, like on the website, and then he just doesn't show up.
Well, because they're teasing the fans, I guarantee you that. And if he does come back, he's going to come back at the end of all of this craziness, after all the get rid of Goldberg, get all this stuff done, and then he might just show up out of nowhere. And that would be smart.
Yeah, I can
and
see
you
that.
Know what? They are scheduled to be in Minnesota sometime, I think, in October.
Oh, boy.
So it could happen. It could happen there, you know? I think they're scheduled.
I just can't believe we're talking
to
Goldberg
really
in the ring in 2021. That's crazy.
Exactly. I mean, listen, kudos to him. He's in good shape. He stayed in good shape. He kept training, kept doing, you know, martial arts, and just relatively stayed in good health. Hey, if the man can do it, let him do it. I mean, look at Sting. Sting had a full match at 61 and looked good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm happy.
And he's taking some bumps. And he's taking some bumps as of late. And you know what? He lost some weight. He slimmed down. He knew he needed to lose some weight if he was going to do it. He did all that. He trained. He lost weight. He looks good. You know?
Speaking of losing weight,
that,
man, John Cena. Look at him. He looks like Ernest now.
Oh. You make me laugh.
looking like Ernest meets Alex Riley.
Yeah.
Good Lord. No, that's funnier. But
gracious.
Yeah, he lost weight. He looks good. You know what? He looks good. You know, we'll see what they're going to do with him, how long he's going to stay. You know, right now all his projects are in the can. He doesn't have anything to do right offhand. So, hey,
mm-hmm.
Why not?
Right.
You know? And you know as well as I do, Stro, you never say never in this business.
Oh, God. Got that right.
You know? You never
anything
could
happen.
Anything could happen. So, you know, and right now it's a perfect time for both AEW and WWE to pull some, now that they're back out in front of fans, to pull a rabbit out of the hat.
Mm-hmm.
Who's it going to be next? You know, who's going to be the next thing that they decide they're going to pull a fast one or somebody we
haven't
seen.
Speaking of wars, man.
God knows how long.
Speaking of wars, it was good seeing Chavo on AEW the other night, man.
Yeah,
that was really cool.
Chavo.
He looked great, man. Well, I remember one of the funniest bits he did in WCW, right? And you guys probably
mm-hmm.
remember this. He was going around the hallways yelling, looking for Goldberg, right? He's yelling, Goldberg, where are you?
Oh, yeah.
I'm coming for you, Goldberg, right? And he comes up to Mike Graham in gorilla position. And Mike is like, what are you doing, Chavo? You know Goldberg's not here. And Chavo, he almost like he's whispering, says, yeah, man, but I'm just trying to get some TV time here. Goldberg!
Right. I do remember that.
That was great, man.
he's always a super nice dude. And,
yeah.
You know, another guy to take the shirt off his back for you. So, yeah, guy that was smooth as silk in the ring,
mm-hmm.
you know, I mean, I tell you, there's nothing bad you can say about him at all. Nothing.
No. Him and
nothing.
Andrade.
He's a great human being.
AEW. Him and Andrade is going to be a good pairing in AEW, I think.
I agree. I think they need to take Andrade and let him loose, though. Let him do his thing. They let everybody else loose. Please let him showcase what he actually can do in the ring.
You know, he's
Let's
a nice dude,
it.
Too, Andrade is. You see the tweet he gave about Charlotte when she won and lost the title a few days ago? He tweeted that,
no, I missed
that
it.
She'll always be a champion to him, right? You know, they're together now, right? And and at the same time, and he also congratulated Nikki Cross for winning the women's championship at the same time. I mean, real classy dude, man.
Yeah, he is. And you know what? He's not bitter because he's another guy that knows never say never.
Oh,
you
no.
Know? You can't
I have
say.
Never, I haven't heard a bad thing about him either. I haven't heard one bad thing about him.
I haven't either. I mean, I haven't either. And I'm not what I'm looking, but. I've never heard anything like that.
I like the.
I think he's a super cool. I think he's going to be a. If they let him loose, we'll see some stuff that he never got to showcase in WWE. But go ahead, Steve.
I saw the. You remember the clips there that Andrade and Ric Flair. Andrade was suplexing Ric Flair into the pool. While that.
Yeah.
Funny.
Yeah. That's awesome.
No, I didn't see
Blair
that.
Still
that's
taking
funny, too. Right?
<amazing.
laughs> Crazy. Crazy old dude. But you know what?
I don't think Blair would feel right if he was taking a bump somewhere. He loves taking bumps.
Right, exactly. I love the Car Shield commercial. Chopped the crap out of that dude.
Be like, great.
Oh, yeah.
And then the chair shot was freaking phenomenal.
Chair shot, yes. Oh, man.
It was phenomenal,
Rick,
man. I'm like, holy
Rick
crap.
Rick has never been slowed down, man. He has never been slowed down.
No. You know what? He's not that type. He's not that type of person. He's a go, go, go. He's let's go, man. You know?
Oh,
he gets up, it's on. Which is a good thing, even at his age, because if you slow down and you think about it for a minute, that's when you lose yourself. And I think he's a testament for this sport to keep going.
Remember the protein cookie commercials where he's at the door? They answer the door, and he's trying to sell them the protein cookies, and he's like, we don't want some right now. And he's like, oh, come on, man. And there's this lottery commercial, right, where he's at a Ric Flair Institute, where everybody's dressed like him with the robes and the wigs, and he has a chopping class where he's showing them how to chop people in the chest. Oh, my God.
That's hilarious.
It's so funny.
He also was
God.
On the commercial in Charlotte for his scratch-off ticket, too. And I think he chopped somebody on that commercial, too. Yep. He had his own Ric Flair scratch-off. It was like a $10 card. And
I still crack up when I see those old Four Horsemen chewable vitamins commercials.
Oh, my God.
When they had the Four Horsemen chewable vitamins.
Yeah,
remember
that
those?
Awesome. That was awesome. That was fantastic.
It was like mini Flintstones.
They probably were Flintstones. They just made them look like Ric Flair.
Oh, jeez.
Wow. That's funny.
Good stuff, man. That was about as funny as when they had the Ruse shoes at one time for WCW. And Lex Luger and Sting were in the Ruse.
Oh,
those old
pants
shoes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted a pair. I never got one, but I always wanted a pair. Because
they
had that, like,
they weren't
neon
around very long. Yeah.
They weren't.
They weren't around very long, but if you could find a pair, I bet there were something.
I bet.
Oh, my
Man.
God. I forgot about the Ruse.
The Ruse, yeah.
The Ruse. I think
I
have
God.
To pair those.
Yeah.
I got
to get some Zubal pants. Oh, go ahead.
I have mine. Till to this day.
I wonder if they flip them, I'll have to order some. But Ric Flair, wasn't he on the booking committee at one point for WCW?
Yes. Yes, he was. And that this was like prior the whole war between WCW and WWE on the Monday Night Wars bit. But he was the booking committee at one time, yeah. But especially during the time that he was feuding with Terry Funk.
Yes, in 89.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think Ric Flair did Ric Flair ever get producer roles? WWE, like, I'm surprised he wasn't more of a backstage worker in his later years, even though he kept being a talent, you know, forever, but I just wonder how much influence he had backstage.
Well, I would say more so in the WCW end than he was like the WWE end, but you know, Triple H was a big supporter of his. Big supporter of Flair. So he really looked out for Rick, you know, during his time with WWE. So
Arne Anderson, you know, a legendary or notable producer, and John Cena would request Arn to be his producer. I just wonder, like, what if Ric Flair ever had that position at some point?
I'm sure he helped out when he could, but I don't think Rick really pursued that side of it. Different for whatever reason that may have been, but I'm sure if Rick wanted to, he would have been a great asset with his knowledge and wisdom to a lot of talent, you know what I mean?
Right. Maybe like a guest coach at the performance center, like that.
Oh God, yeah. Can you imagine what he could do to help those guys and gals out? It'd be amazing. it's cool to have Shawn Michaels as of late helping out with NXT and a few others. So,
oh, yeah.
I mean, that's really cool.
Absolutely.
I've heard he has a big hand in the UK NXT brand as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a big Walter fan, by the way. He's all about some Walter.
You know,
Shawn Michaels.
The next oh. big Walter, Ilya Dragunov 2 at TakeOver 36, which I think is around summertime, August, so
mm-hmm.
super.
Ricky Steamboat, a while back, said one time he was a big Sheamus fan because he helped out Sheamus earlier in his career. And, yeah, he loves Sheamus. And Sheamus is all, you know, hey, I can't say I blame him because Sheamus has always been a solid wrestler.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he looks legit. Like, and, like, Big Show.
Mm-hmm.
How hard he can be with Sheamus.
Right. Well, brace yourself. Here he
Uh-oh.
Is. The ultimate Skype caller. And we know it's like the old, it's like AW.
Where?
You know what that means?
Uh-oh.
Here he is. It's just you, Brian, sir.
Hey, it's Cal. No, I'm just kidding. It's Brian.
Welcome back, Cal. The
third.
Welcome back, Brian.
That's funny.
How you doing, Brian?
Okay, the show's
I'm almost over.
Yeah. Got any plugs? No, I'm just kidding.
No, the show's about over, sir. Where you been at?
No, that's fine.
Well, I've been down to the river and baptized. Now, that's an old song a long time ago.
That is a song. I'll give you a second. Yep.
So
where's that from, bro?
So in other words, I got two things out of I got two things out of that. None of my business, and you were busy. Okay, I got it.
Well, now that you're refreshed, we're talking about the Monday Night Wars, Brian. You got any cool Monday Night Wars stories you want to share with? The search
well,
for Kyle.
Where to begin? You know, the Monday
right?
Night Wars, they were something that, you know, that this generation growing up will never realize or experience. I mean, they can relive repeats and stuff on Peacock and everything, but as far as being there during that time and living through that, it was just incredible. You had
mm-hmm.
over on WWF, you had Vince McMahon pouring out all the stops. He had the Oddities and the Hunter Hearst Helms losing for his Triple H, for all those listening. He had Mark Marrow, Ahmed Johnson, Farouk, before it was Ron Simmons, or after Ron Simmons, and Ron Simmons again. You had the Nation of Domination. You had Mosh and Thrasher, you had the Oddities, you had Stone Cold Steve Austin, Chris Jericho making his debut, interrupting The Rock, you had the Austin Beer Bash, you had the Austin and Pillman gunfight where it was too bad for television, the USA Network had to censor it, they got angry about it, You had the Austin with the fake gun in the ring that said bang to Vince McMahon. You had Vince
McMahon. Oh, that
made
a piece of stuff.
Yeah. You had Vince McMahon in a hospital bed.
Yeah.
Austin coming in there with a pan hitting Vince in the head, and you had a Kane and Katie Vick story, which was crazy.
Oh, Lord.
You had the Big Show and Big Boss Man family funeral.
If you will.
Which was which was crazy.
Yeah.
In that situation, you had the gold dust coming out there on Raw as Dustin Rhodes said, "I hate this gimmick. I can't stand being gold dust." And he said, "Gold dust is dead." And you had Gangrel and the Brood.
Oh yeah!
So,
good Lord!
Yeah,
he was
so much in WWF, and then over in WCW.
Oh, here we go.
You had Jushin Thunder Liger, first Nitro against Brian Pillman, the lightweight champion. You had the Nasty Boys running wild on Nitro with the Harlem Heat and Public Enemy going back and forth, and you had you had LWO. Who can forget that? Eddie Guerrero, LWO, El Dandy. You had Bret Hart debuting much later on in the Monday Night Wars.
You just made the list.
You had the legendary Chris Adams. Who can forget that? He had some classic matches with Booker T. Those are some good matches. A lot of people don't give Chris Adams the credit he deserves. But, Chris Adams, you know, he put on some good matches with Booker T. I remember, and I remember William Regal when he was over there, coming over there when he was in WCW, and then you had him with Bobby Eaton in the Blue Bloods, him with David Taylor in the Blue Bloods. You had him managed by Bill Dundee, which was Sir, I can't remember his name. And then you had you had Bam Bam Bigelow invading in the back door, knocking it down, Goldberg getting mad, him and Bam Bam fighting. You had so many different things going on in WCW.
Credits are rolling.
And
right.
I mean, it was just a war. I mean, you didn't know
what
channel to watch. You had the little box on some of the TVs. They had a little box where you could watch two shows at one time. Watch one on the big screen, watch one on the little screen. And now I'm shutting up because that's enough, and I'm getting out of breath.
Yeah.
Way to bring that one up, Brian, because I had pointed out earlier, it's like, I remember trying to struggle which one I was going to watch and which one I was going to record, man.
Yeah.
Right?
It was very hard.
Hollywood,
to try
of course, corrected me.
Wow, what a review, Brian. That was amazing. Oh.
Thank you.
I catch my breath on that one.
Yeah, I catch my too.
Goodness gracious.
No, he covered it.
Right? Let's see if you got any thoughts.
I think we all got cut up on that.
Steve, you got any thoughts?
You know, ECW invaded Monday Night Raw at one point. That's
right.
And the Paul Heyman.
Yeah,
and you know, I wonder if Don Callis had been there a little bit earlier. I don't know. Maybe – I know ECW wasn't going to work with WCW, but I would have loved to have seen Don Callis as Cyrus work with Eric Bischoff. Like, just see these two smug guys just interact. It's like MJF and Chris Jericho. Like, who's got the bigger ego?
Right.
Think him, Don
right.
Callis and Eric Bischoff. Cool.
No, MJF is the next superstar, I'm just telling you.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he's amazing.
He's got the Piper mic skills. He's got the wherewithal and the wrestling to back it up. I mean, come on, man. Barring anything stupid happening to him, or I don't want to jinx the guy, I'm not even going to say it, but barring anything happening to him, he's the next guy.
And
Most definitely.
Even the Raw brand invaded ECW at one point. Jerry Lawler, Sabu and RVD attacking ECW.
That was a crazy moment.
Yeah. Even Jim Cornette invaded WCW, ECW at one time. Remember Jim Cornette invading ECW? That was crazy.
And you know something interesting, Steve, you brought that up about you would have liked to have seen Cyrus and Eric Bischoff working together. Well, believe it or not, that almost happened when WCW was going out of business and Eric Bischoff had it on the table to buy WCW. One of the announcers that he was going to hire Jerry Lawler, and he was going to hire Cyrus to be the announcers along with Tony Schiavone.
Tell me, he didn't just say that.
Wow.
That'd be a great color commentary team right there.
That'd have been tough.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been good.
Yeah.
Yes.
That'd have been really cool.
As an inside joke, congratulations, Joe, on your All Elite Wrestling.
Yeah, Brian sent me this picture. He sent me this picture of a picture of me on this All Elite. You know how they introduce somebody, certain so and so's All Elite, and
right.
It's got a picture of me at one of my gym pictures as a guy working out the gym. Saying Papa Stro is All Elite. I about died. Oh my God.
You should have made the picture of Kenny Omega and Papa Stro side by side because they got the same mustache and beard going on, man.
Who'd have thought Kenny Omega would be my doppelganger? Go figure.
Right?
You know,
now you're all, but since you're All Elite now, you know, maybe you can get that match signed now.
Yeah. That's the stroke of the office now, right?
Right?
They're all friends.
Exactly.
Kenny Omega, I think he thinks he's a Brad Armstrong finger because he's posted pictures of Brad Armstrong. I just wonder, Shara, did you ever work with Brad Armstrong in your WCW days?
Oh, God, yes. The whole family. Man, everyone, all those guys were great. All the Armstrongs were just awesome, man. And Brad was incredible. It blows my mind. As good as Brad was, he could have been that much more bigger. The guy had it all. Literally had it all. Amazing wrestler. I can't say enough good about Brad, man.
Yeah, nobody can. I mean, he's a great guy.
Dude, one of the best drop kicks I've ever seen, too. He was an amazing athlete. Dude had an eight-pack.
I mean, he
wasn't a six-pack. He was an eight-pack, man. I mean, he was just ripped.
Yeah, he was a good wrestler. I tell you, I used to love watching him wrestle. And you know, when I heard about his passing, I was like, man, believe it or not, I can't believe it. He actually passed on my late brother's birthday, and I was like, wow. That's just weird. And then, and then Savage, you know, when Savage passed away, Savage was actually 10 years older than my brother was. So it was just weird coincidence stuff. But I was gonna mention to you, you know, you're talking about guys that you know used to work in WCW. Speaking of that, there's one of them right now petitioning. He did it on Instagram and I tweeted Tony Khan and them, but I don't know if it'll help, maybe. But on Instagram, he said, hey, he said, I'm buff and I'm still a stuff. He said, send Tony Khan and them a message and let them know that I want to be on AEW and show the world what I've got. And the Chris Jericho liked the video. I thought that was interesting.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
Hey, maybe MJF, Buck Bagwell, maybe Buff Bagwell joins the Inner Circle. I think that'd be interesting.
That would be interesting.
Yeah, that would
very
be interesting.
Can you imagine MJF and Buff Bagwell having a promo together?
Oof.
No.
That'd be a...
brutal. I think it'd be brutal.
Could you imagine MJF and CM Punk having a promo together?
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Okay,
back and forth
right.
with those two? Yes.
Let's get into that one, okay? So
okay.
There's big rumors that Daniel Bryan and CM Punk both are heading to AEW. What do you guys thought? You think it's legit? You think it's full out air? You think it's like possibility just like never land?
I think it's just one of them going. I think Daniel Bryan is going to be there, and I don't think CM Punk will be there at all. I don't think I don't think he's coming back to wrestling. I really don't.
Well, my opinion on it is, I think Daniel Bryan, which he's already signed with AEW, is legit, and I think that CM Punk is also legit. And I'll tell you why on that. There was something released earlier today by CM Punk himself on Instagram. He's not denying the rumors of AEW. He released a song on his Instagram story, and it's a song that the Chicago Bulls come out to, kind of speculating to when he might come back. But I think this time it is legit, and I have read that it's pretty much a done deal. They're just waiting to sign the contract in person.
Yep, I heard that too. I didn't know about the Chicago Post, but yeah, I think they're up with it. I think they intentionally leaked out so they can bring pop in. I think they intentionally leaked so they can get the interest going.
But I think it's wonderful news for AEW, and I do think that with Daniel Bryan and CM Punk that it will be no matter what anybody out there says, both of these guys, if you think about it, John Moxley, he's big, Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks, they're big. I'm not taking anything away from them. But when it comes down to CM Punk and Daniel Bryan, both of those guys combined are bigger stars than them because they've got legions of fans. You got Daniel Bryan with the Yes Movement. You got CM Punk, where he had millions of followers and stuff. And in 2014, when he walked out of WWE, a lot of those people quit watching wrestling altogether because Punk left. So it's going to be a very interesting thing, and I think it's going to be a game changer. I think AEW, if Daniel Bryan and Punk go to AEW, which I believe is pretty much going to happen, it's going to be a game changer, and AEW is going to be on the map. I mean, bigger than ever. And don't get me wrong, I'm not taking anything away from Moxley, Omega, the Young Bucks. They're all big stars in their own right. But when you put them next to Daniel Bryan or CM Punk, the fans, the legions of fans they have is just amazing. It's like when Jeff Hardy came over to TNA back when he was a big star. He had legions and legions of fans. So,
all right, we're back from commercial.
Be interesting. Okay.
we didn't need no picture on this one.
Right? Well, I didn't see the thing on CM Punk, so I can't comment on that. But I know that Daniel Bryan's going to be there, so
I think I think I saw the same thing. It's about the game changer comment.
I can't understand what Steve's saying.
The million speaker.
Sound like he's cutting in and out on my end.
Sorry, I was saying
that
I don't think Punk and Bryan are game changers per se, but I think they'll definitely help with the ratings and keeping them in the million figures, in the million ratings figure like they have been recently, and I think it'll definitely help with the pay-per-view buys for sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Biggest thing is the house draw. I think if their house draw is good, then the rest will fall in line. It's not going to matter about anything else at that point. Because if you're not drawing a house, you're not staying on TV much longer. So, that's just what I think.
Hmm.
I think if they sign, it's to get, it's not just the rating, but it's to buy ratings for everything. TV shows that are live, your pay-per-views, but your house shows. When they start
tickets.
Doing the house shows, that, right, they need those tickets. And
well,
you know...
I don't know when they're going to do house shows. Because even before the pandemic, they weren't really doing any of them. I think they were just doing TV only.
Well, yeah, but they now that they got three shows... They're going to have to start doing it somehow.
Yeah, you're
because
right.
Because otherwise, instead of having a five-hour television show where you tape those other two shows and then you go live for Dynamite, you're killing yourself. You know?
AEW still has they have a show on Monday. It's called Dark Evolution. So, I mean, technically, there is competition between two Monday Night Wrestling shows, but it's obviously not going to be near the same intensity.
Well, until they move from TNT to another network in that system, then they can worry about putting on either Dark Evolution or the other show on television. Right now, it's on YouTube and something else. So, but once that... If they change,
right,
you know, because I think they're trying to change the Friday night to go head to head with SmackDown.
I got to ask
that's what
you,
they're
Velvet.
Looking into. Go ahead.
What we got on here? I got to ask you, man. How did the interview with Thomas Simpson go? This past
Sunday night? Good. It was really good. It was really good. We didn't talk any gossip. We talked about. How the business is going today. We talked about him and him and the Hardys doing the Omega thing and how that started. And he talked about Matt and Jeff and how proud he was of both of them.
Matt, cool.
You know, doing the thing on AEW, you know. So, I mean, it was really good. There was no heat, beef. We didn't talk about anybody. You know, any which way. I let him talk. I let him answer questions. Steve was there. Steve asked him about six questions. It was good.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good interview.
It was pretty much, it was Steve pretty much took over hosting duties.
He did a good job of just asking the questions and getting them out.
Oh, for sure. How responsive, and I tell you, I know he was talking about making sure he and Steve reached out to each other at the end of the show and stuff like that. He said he'd be back. It was a good show. It was a really good show.
Yeah. We're going to do a part two. So, absolutely.
I'll look forward to a part two. And, Stroh, I mentioned you in passing because I brought up, you know, I thought Jason Kincaid, even though he's a bit younger and wasn't around for that Omega when the Omega was in its prime, I thought someone like a Kincaid would have fit in that Omega roster. But
God, yeah, Kincaid's amazing.
I mentioned you in passing, and obviously he knew who you were. And I forget, Stroh.
I said
I forget how big of a name you are, Stroh.
I talked to him, Thomas, a few years ago at over dinner. It was him, Tessa Blanchard, and a few other people. We just got through doing a show in South Carolina, I think, Union, South Carolina. And, he's a great guy, man. I mean, we got to catch up and stuff. Because I saw him a long time ago back in the, you know, when early Omega days, you know what I mean?
Oh, I do have to mention this. He was there. The first thing that came out of his mouth when we got on the air was he goes, hey, mm-hmm. Velvet, before you start, and these guys can Todd and Steve can answer and say yes to this. First thing that came out of his mouth was he was there for the beating that I took from Susan. He was there live and in person for that match. And he talked about it.
Wow.
And these two heard it. So, yeah, it was like, oh. I said, but it's a legend now. The story's a legend. It took on a whole different meaning.
Right.
I'm like, you're crazy, man. I said, it's legendary.
Man, hey, the story that spread around the world, man.
It has. I'm like, this is nuts. And I totally forgot he was there. He was there for that.
Awesome. Yeah, go ahead.
Sure. I got to ask you, did you work with Shane Helms, WCW, when he was working there?
Oh, gosh. I've worked with Shane off and on for a lot of years. And we did a lot of shows together. Oh, gosh. Like, even from way back, I remember Shane when he was breaking into business. He was like, he was a referee in the beginning, right? And I used to love watching him referee matches because he would work harder than the guys he was refereeing with. I knew he'd eventually be, you know, he'd be a full time wrestler. It was in his blood, man. And sure enough, but yeah, Shane's a great dude, man. I've known Shane like forever. Oh my god, great times. Yeah, I've known Matt Jeff for quite a bit long too. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. I'm gonna have to look into what he thinks about Nikki A.S.H., the almost superhero, because, you know, Hurricane, you know, was a big superhero character for a long time. But I had talked about Christian York. Did you ever work with Christian York?
Yes. Yeah, great guy. Good wrestler too.
Yeah, I was glad to get an update.
I've always liked Christian.
I was glad to get an update on him from Mr. Thomas. I feel like he could have been on bigger stages than Impact. Maybe he chose to work outside the business, but I feel like York had a great look and a lot of potential.
He had all the tools to be a big star in the business, man. He really did. I've always enjoyed wrestling him, and yeah, he was one of those guys back then that you knew he was destined for bigger things.
Now, I got a question, Stro. There was a guy that worked with he worked with ECW, but he worked with WCW Nitro in his final days. And to my knowledge, when WCW went out of business, he was still undefeated. He hadn't gotten beat, and I was wondering if you got a chance to work with him. His name was Jason Jett.
Jason Jett. That name does sound familiar. I think I bumped into it one time or another. It does sound familiar.
Yeah. His name in ECW was Easy Money.
Easy? Yeah, I know Easy Money. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I wrestled Easy Money.
Okay.
Yeah. Easy Money. Yeah.
Yeah.
I got some stuff off of him because he made, like, stuff for boys. Yeah.
Yes, he did. Yeah, I wrestled him in North Carolina.
Right.
He's funny, baby.
I just read some interesting news.
Here
AEW,
we go.
AEW has trademarked the first dance, and they're saying that it could be for CM Punk because the name of the Chicago Bulls song is The Last Dance. I just thought I'd pass that along.
Oh, boy.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I was listening to some speculation on Brian, and it's I don't know if they can. I don't think they can copyright "Flight of the Valkyries," but I'm sure they can do a cover on it or get the original version of that song. And
yeah.
Use that. But I'm sure Brian in there. He probably wants to work New Japan. That's probably why he wants to do some AEW work, so that way he could wait for that New Japan to open up. Maybe work New Japan strong in California.
I saw what Jericho's trying to trademark God of War too. If he's going to do.
Yeah, that's the name of a video game, isn't it?
Yeah.
Only you would know.
I had never played it, though, but I've heard of it.
I had those games. It's so hard. It's hard. I don't even finish them.
Yeah. Oh man.
And also congratulations
just
to.
Real quick. I got a bail.
All right.
And
okay.
I want to say thank you for having me. Everybody, stay safe. Stay
take
smart.
Care.
Anytime.
Yeah,
call back anytime, man. Call back anytime.
Yeah, buddy.
Be safe, all.
All
love
right,
brother.
Take care.
That was Todd, man. Great to have him here tonight.
Oh yeah. I was going to say, also congratulations to Thunder Rosa on being signed by AEW, and her contract was actually bought out earlier today.
Birthday today, too.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Thunder Rosa. And Shawn Michaels.
Yes.
Shawn Michaels, HBK.
And Shawn Michaels.
How old did Shawn Michaels turn?
In a sweet birthday.
Pretty much.
A too sweet birthday?
Yeah, the click.
I mean, yeah, click. That was at one point.
Well, I got a.
It's funny.
I got an answer.
Dax posted. Dax Hardwood. With FTR, he posted "Happy Birthday, HBK," and underneath it, he's got a picture of Bret Hart. He's like the greatest.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh my god.
Oh, man.
I got to say, last night on Dynamite, that one guy, I've heard of him, but I've never seen him wrestle. Nick
my
Cage,
okay.
he seems scary. Is he pretty scary, Steve?
Say that again?
Nick Cage?
I said Nick Cage. Is he
Nick
pretty scary, a wrestler?
He's one of those crazy ones.
Very, very well wrestler in that scene. Like, he died. If you've seen the Dark Side of the Ring documentary.
Yeah, he almost died in one of his matches.
Yeah.
Man. I know they were saying now, this is no joke. I was listening to Wrestling Inc. last night, a podcast on YouTube. They were saying that Nick Cage is like this generation, the New Jack.
It's
and they said that they were kind of concerned about what he's going to do next week on TNT because they said they've seen a few of his matches, and they said that the guy doesn't listen. He does whatever he wants to do and gets whatever he wants to do. And I was like, oh, my goodness.
So listen to David Arquette's Dark Side of the Ring. He got cutter. He got a piece of cutter. Moxley got it, too. I wouldn't want to take that.
Man. Now, if you're first of all, if he's in the ring with the right person, they'll straighten him out, or you know, just won't work him. If he's unsafe, nobody's gonna work
I think.
Oh, he'll be all right. He'll be all right with Jericho. Trust me, he'll be fine.
Yeah,
Jericho can take care of himself.
Oh, Jericho can handle himself. Oh, I know that. I'm just saying. But you know what I mean. You don't want to get in the ring with somebody who's well, Gabe for Cocoa Puffs.
I don't think Gabe is dumb enough. I think he knows this is a big platform for him. So I don't think he wants.
It's the biggest platform he's ever been on. Yes.
I don't think he wants to get too much heat from Jericho in this match. I think he'll definitely have a very hardcore match with Jericho, but I think he doesn't want to think about Jericho and you know, the higher ups. That is a big
Well, this has been interesting tonight, guys. That's a lot of fun, actually.
We went off the rails. We covered
all kinds of ground tonight. And then some.
Right.
Do you have any plugs you guys want to throw out there? Feel free. Floor is yours.
Anybody?
Obviously, you can follow Steven online. Definitely look into pro wrestling interviews. Whenever you announce.
Yeah, I don't know. I got a couple of people that want to come on. They haven't made up their mind. That's why I haven't posted anything. I need to post it tomorrow and Saturday and Sunday, but figure out which one's coming on. I tried to get both of them. Then they said, so I'll figure that out. But, yeah, pro wrestling interviews every Sunday night, 9 p.m. If you're a diehard pro interview fan, we are now, our replays are now on Sunday nights at 8 p.m. prior to us going live at 9 p.m. So if you missed last week with Thomas Simpson, you can catch it this week on TigerRadio.com, and you can hear that, and then you can come live on to Pro Wrestling Interviews at 9. That's what I got.
Well, I got a plug for tomorrow. I'm going to be going to a show in Henrico, Virginia, called UEW Resurrection. I know from the Virginia area, so definitely looking forward to that.
Awesome.
And looking forward to the results following that. Yeah.
Cool.
Talking Monday Night Wars and wrestling in general.
Awesome. Oh, man. If you're in the area, check that out, guys. Listeners are listening in. Sweet.
Absolutely.
And pro wrestling interviews
Sunday
night.
Brian, you got anything,
buddy?
He's looking for Kyle still.
The only thing, he's probably on South Park. You got to check it out. I don't even watch it.
Okay, thank you.
the only play I got is the WSC Lounge will be returning in the future. I don't know when yet. Still deciding on that. And, you know, just continue to keep me and my mom in your prayers.
Absolutely.
I'm doing so much better. You know, I'm getting out and walking every day, trying to get my cholesterol down to prevent anything else from going on, and I give God all the glory for it. Without him I'd be nothing, and I just want to say that it's a pleasure and honor to be on David Stone Retro each and every week, or you know, when I get a chance to call in, I don't forget. And you know, thank you always for have me on Pop Stro, and it's always fun getting on here and kidding with amazing Velvet about his friend named Kyle.
Yeah, thank you.
And always hearing Steve's analysis on wrestling, because he is an encyclopedia. I mean, he really amazes you, you know, with especially the Japanese. Prospect of it. I mean,
he's on it, man.
He could be the future Mike Tenay, I believe. I mean, he really.
Oh no! Don't call him Mike Tenay.
Well, I'm saying because Mike Tenay had announcers in WCW of all the cruiserweights. I mean, he was shooting that out left and right. Like, my goodness. But and you know, Matt Stryker, he's kind of like that too. You know, the knowledge of different luchadors and cruiserweights and all that stuff. But all right, I believe that's about all on the plugs, and I'll keep everybody posted. You know, whenever there's another show coming up. And really quickly, Stro, I want to ask you this about somebody else, and I know you probably weren't with them in WCW, but I just want to know on a personal level to you, what kind of individual they were. I mean, I know they were pretty good wrestler, I guess you could say. What was it like for you working with Glenn Gilberti, Disco Inferno?
Oh, he was a cool guy to me. He always was cool to me. I mean, he did his thing, you know what I mean? I mean, very cordial when I met him, you know.
He's very polarizing on these podcasts, but he had a hand in training Karrion Kross, so I just wonder, like, how much Karrion Kross took from Glenn, now that I think about it.
So how long has Glenn... Like before WCW, was he wrestling before then as anybody else?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. He's like he always was good to me. You know, I never had any beef with him.
I mean, what other companies did he work in before WCW?
He was like some of the Georgia independents at the time.
Wow.
I'm an independent promotion.
I never knew that.
He also worked USWA at one point.
Right. And he
did in USWA?
Yeah.
Wow.
So did
So did
Kidman and Canyon. I remember when they first got in USWA because I was there at the time, teaming with Tommy Rich.
Kidman and Canyon was there? I didn't know that. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Memphis.
Oh, yeah.
Memphis. Had so much talent come through there.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
Absolutely.
I know that. I didn't know this till about a month or two ago, but I know Brian Cage saw a lot of Canyon. That's where he got the saying, "Who better than Cage?" You know, he does it in memory of Canyon.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's pretty neat.
Didn't Cage recently win a championship there in Impact? Did I read that correctly?
No. He's with AEW, Brian Cage.
I think he made a trip there to Impact here recently, if not mistaken.
Oh, he did? I didn't know that. I read that Missy Hyatt wrestled.
Missy Hyatt.
Yeah, I know, folks. You did hear me say Missy Hyatt. That's a long time ago, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. It's a good thing you weren't in our book, either. Ooh, some of the stuff.
That's funny.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you just have to read a book to know what I'm talking about. It's a mess.
Right.
Some stories. Oh, my
God. That's
there's a quote from Kevin Nash. In the side part of the book, it says, "I think I'm about the only one that hasn't slept with Missy Hyatt."
Oh,
that's funny.
Wow!
But you have to read the book. I don't want to spoil. I don't want to spoil it for you.
I don't spoil it.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. When I talked to DeVore. Sir Everett DeVore. I've talked to him every once in a while, and I still crack up to him. You know, we talk about the story about him and Missy Hyatt, like, coming to the ring together and everything, and they had to look a little dance off at one point. Oh, it was hysterical. Hysterical.
I couldn't believe that match I seen the other night on YouTube. It was Bobby Eaton, managed by Michael Hayes, against Tommy Rich, managed by Ted DiBiase.
Wow. Sounds like a
yeah,
classic.
Yeah, I didn't even know that DiBiase ever managed Tommy Rich. I mean, I was like, wow. And
oh, they
Michael
have a lot
Hayes,
of history together. Tommy Rich and DiBiase do.
Someone says something about getting a prize.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. You don't remember the Mr. R angle they had? Where DiBiase thought Tommy Rich was Mr. R, and Tommy Rich showed up at ringside waving at him. It turned out Mr.
Yeah,
R was Brad Armstrong.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
That was a hot angle back then. Georgia Championship Wrestling, man.
I don't think I remember that.
It was look
before
it
your
up,
time,
buddy.
Yeah.
Before your time.
It probably was. I mean, I was probably just a kid when that happened.
Yeah, that was hot angle back then, man.
So that was
and
before Tommy Rich
Tommy
and Michael Hayes went at it.
Ringside. Yeah, it Tommy Rich waving at DiBiase. Hi, Ted.
Yep.
Hi, Ted. Oh, my God.
Hi, brother. That's funny. All right.
Yes.
Everybody
thank you guys
good
so
night.
Much. You guys make the shows always. Thank you guys so much for everything. Come back next week,
absolutely.
Please. Bring your friends.
Love this show.
Bring your friends.
Yes, bring your,
yes.
Hey, your friends.
Come on, let's make it a party next week. Next week, we're going to be talking about the greatest commentators
on
wrestling television.
Oh, heck yeah. We're on now.
Oh, that'll be good.
Yes, sir.
It'll be a lot
we're
of fun.
Now.
I can't wait for that. Yes. And
Mama
listeners are listening in. Mama Mia, absolutely. We got to throw him in the mix, too. Catch the archives of tonight's show on VOCNation.com. Just look for WCW Retro and the day's date, 7/22/2021. Be good to yourselves and each other. Take care of yourselves. Have a great rest of the week and weekend. We'll see you next Thursday. And we'll end it off with some classic Terry Funk Japanese theme for you.
Ooh, yeah.
There we go.
Ooh.